Welcome back to Beers and Buckets. We're so glad that you guys joined us today. I'm always here. I'm the one that produces it, so I'm always going to be on. But my name is Connor Caldwell. You can find me on Twitter at Connor J. Caldwell. It's Connor with an E. We are also joined by Kyle.
Yes, sir. How we doing, fellow kids? at UK fan, at UK fan Kyle on Twitter. I'm just excited to be here again and talking about some good matchups we saw over the weekend in college basketball, and it's starting to heat up, and we've got a short week this week, and we got Turkey coming up and all that. So I'm excited to get it going.
Yeah, we are unfortunately missing our two regulars, and Matt and Dal. They are not able to record tonight. This is Sunday night, by the way. So we reached out on Twitter to a couple of connections that we had, and I reached out to one of the most underrated bucket watchers that you have on Twitter that you could definitely follow, and that is none other than Bradley Smith. Bradley, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm on Twitter at 270 Bradley Smith, and got my podcast out. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Bradley's Basketball Banner. Huge UK fan, but I watch anytime basketball's on. I watched a couple weeks ago Austin Peay versus Life University. I didn't know Life University was a real thing. But anyway, I think Butch Jones is their football coach.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us, Bradley. We're excited to have you on. Unfortunately, Bradley is not a drinker. He's not an alcohol drinker. But he's recently engaged, so who knows? That might change. We'll see. Yeah. Shout out. I'm sure your fiance is great. I think all the things that you'll have to deal with, I could speak as a husband. Everything that you have to deal with being married is mostly your own shortcomings, at least that I could say for sure. So,
I doubt.
Congratulations, by the way.
I'll doubt I'll have to deal with your shortcomings, but thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Right. Thank you.
You made a dad joke. That's your only one. I'm knocking it down. That's your only one for the week, for the night. So, but yeah, we have some top news. There was a lot of good basketball on this week, especially this weekend. I mean, like, good Lord, there was some good basketball on. Most notably, we had a number 5 and number 4 matchup today, or is it number 6? I can't remember what Purdue was ranked, but yeah, Purdue upset number 4 Villanova. And it wasn't, like, I don't even count it as an upset. Like, it didn't really feel like an upset to me. They were just both that good. I think they're both Final Four teams, if we're being honest. I was just not as high on Villanova going into the season. But, I mean, you can't count out Jay Wright. He's one of the better coaches in basketball today. So what did you guys think of that game? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Purdue is strong. I mean, that's the first time – this weekend was the first time I was able to watch Purdue play at all. And, I mean, they've got some dudes. They've got – I mean, Ivy's ridiculous. I mean, he's strong. He can do it all. You know, you've got just – they can shoot the ball. They're, you know, they've got size. They've got ball handling. They've got it all. So they're a complete team. So they're a team that has kind of shot up quickly this year as far as, you know, what I'm looking out for. But Villanova, you know, I mean, they've got 2 losses now already, but they're still, I think, a top 10 team in the country. I think they've proved that. But they've, you know, obviously had – a couple really tough games to manage so far, but they've got, you know, really balanced scoring. They've got a lot of weapons. They've got leadership, and they've got Jay Wright. So I think they're going to be a team that obviously blows through the Big East and, you know, has a solid year. They're going to want to be one of those that's there at the end, you know, an Elite Eight type team. So
for sure.
It was a good game to watch. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Bradley, what'd you think of that?
Oh yeah, I totally agree. You know, whenever anybody talks about Purdue, of course Jaden Ivey is going to be the main topic for a reason, though. I mean, Ivey is a great player. He's going to be a lottery pick this year. Not really much doubt about it. Travion Williams too is a great player for him. He's a good 6'10", and he's just a good force in the paint. Villanova. I mean, Villanova's going to be Villanova. I know they're not going to be as threatening, I guess you might say, of a team as they were a few years ago, but you still can't count them out. Villanova is one of those teams who it seems like they don't have a superstar. They remind me a lot of Baylor last year. But Baylor did have a couple, you might say, superstars, you know, Davion Mitchell.
Not really well-known names.
Until they just took over college basketball last year. They just buy in as a team, and they just go out there and fight every time. So both teams really can make deep runs,
Yeah, for sure. What was interesting in that game is that at one point in the second half, Purdue was down 9. I was watching, and I was like, this is where crap hits the fan for most teams. You're down 9 in second half. You're already the lower ranked team, so it could got ugly. And then Villanova decided to go 5 out, so they took Zach Edey out. Purdue did, and they put Travion Williams, who's better at playing on the perimeter than Zach Edey is for a big man. Mm-hmm. And then he fouled a 3-point shooter, and I was like, I guess he wasn't in the act of shooting, but the guy pump faked, Colin Gillespie pump faked, blew by him. I was like, this is looking ugly for it. And then out of nowhere, just they kept feeding the post, and Villanova could not stop it. And then Jaden Ivey, coming off of a pin down screen, hitting a wide open 3-pointer to cut it to 4. And it just from there, Purdue had all the momentum and never looked back. It was a fun game to watch for sure. It felt like a March game. It really did.
Villanova was up 9 with 7:43 left.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was
after that Gillespie 3, and then it was all Purdue after that.
Yeah, it really was. It was fun to watch. It definitely felt like a March game. There was also the fun Tennessee-UNC game for a little bit, and then UNC decided not to play defense. Right. So that was I was really excited for Tennessee there. I still think Tennessee can be an Elite Eight team, but they got to find scoring beyond Vescovi and Chandler. They have to find a way to get points in the paint. Especially against these bigger teams, these more athletic teams like Villanova, really, they put it to Tennessee yesterday. Did any of you guys see a little bit of that game or at all?
Yeah, man. Today I didn't see a whole lot of yesterday's game. With Villanova, was Villanova correct?
Yeah, Villanova and Tennessee.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of that. I just saw the halftime score and I was like, whoa.
It was ugly.
Some issues today. Yeah. It's the, maybe Rick Barnes kind of is, he thinks it's March or something. I don't know what's going on. but I saw that. But then today I was watching Tennessee and I was like you said, they need to find some more scoring. And I actually got to see Huntley Hatfield out there, and he looks like a dude. He looks like a man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I got to see him. So I was like, it's probably going to be a situation to where if he can develop and be crazy athletic, 3-4 kind of presence, and then you get Fulky back to full strength.
Fulky,
you get Fulky back doing his Fulky things out there, his funky Fulky things, and I think Tennessee's going to be there. All year, and then as usually happens, you just got to see if they can do anything, muster up anything in March after the SEC tournament. So they came back strong today, and their guard Ziegler, who I've never heard of before until today, Zach or Zakai Ziegler, just kind of took over and had 18 today and 5 assists. So if Chandler and him, along with Vescovi and Huntley Hatfield, can come along and develop as a freshman, and then Fulky can do his thing, then you've got a lot of solid pieces there. And then North Carolina defense is optional at North Carolina, and it's kind of been that way for a while. Roy would try to just outrun you and outscore you and out rebound you and get second chance points and things like that, but they don't necessarily have that this year to just kind of wear you down like that. So
I think also a part of that is Hubert Davis has yet to get his class in, his guys in, his style of play, his athletes. Mm-hmm. So we're still seeing the effects of Roy Williams there. So I don't want to mark him as he's not going to be as good yet, because there's so much that goes into play in that. And
I don't think they're going to have a year of they did a few years ago where it's 12 and 20 or something like that. But I think they're going to be a team that kind of hovers around three or four games above 500, you know, for most of the year.
I agree.
They'll be sweating out, you know, making the NCAA tournament, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Real quick on Fulke. Listen to this stat line versus North Carolina. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, shooting 85% from the floor.
That's Fulke. That's Fulke things.
He played so good, you'd think he was playing Kentucky.
Right, exactly.
playing like that.
Except for last year when he only had 6 rebounds.
Yeah.
He was 6 for 7 today from the field.
So
Fulke's coming back into form.
Yeah, that's good to see for basketball. Hate to see it as a UK fan, but it is what it is.
In college? I don't get it.
I have no idea.
This is his 27th year.
He's going to be on the Perry Ellis team for never leaves college ever. So
you got to look out for that Ziegler kid, though. I mean, that's a guy that is one of those that's kind of, you know, kind of come out of nowhere and surprise some people in the SEC.
Yeah.
Might make the second team or something like that this year.
Yeah, he looked really good today. So exciting to see that. I'm happy for Tennessee fans. I'm happy that they're going to be successful from November to February, and then we'll see what happens in March.
We'll see.
Rick Barnes in March, a tradition like no other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to our must-watch games of the week. This is where we talk about and break down a little bit of the upcoming games that we just feel like you guys need to have on the TV at some point. Even if you're doing something else, put that game on the TV, listen to it, pop open a cold one, and enjoy some good basketball, because it'll either be good or it'll be a foul fest. But either way, you're going to have fun watching it. I guarantee it. So we have tomorrow night at 6 p.m. So this is Sunday that we're recording. This is Monday is the game. Monday at 6 p.m. is number 19 Ohio State, currently number 19 Ohio State, versus Seton Hall. What do you guys think about this game?
So that's going to be in Fort Myers. That's close to you, right? Fairly close, an hour and a half or so away.
About 3 hours.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, not close enough to make a drive for it, but I would definitely be there.
Never mind. But yeah, so that's, you know, one of these neutral site, you know, deals. Seton Hall looks tough, no doubt about it. I mean, if Dow was on here, I'm sure he'd be letting us hear about Seton Hall, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And Ohio State has been kind of mediocre at best so far. They've struggled a little bit early on. So, you know, I think Seton Hall's, I've got Seton Hall in my, you know, into the top 25 for me this year, or for me this week. So they've started out, they've looked really strong starting out. I think they'll take Ohio State by 10 or so.
Yeah, Bryce Aiken looks really good this season for Seton Hall. Like, he looked really good the other night against Michigan and that upset. So, and by the way, if you didn't listen to episode 2 last week, we did pitch that, and I think a lot of us bought some pints, at least some pints of some upset from Dow on that Seton Hall over Michigan game. I think we also had a couple of, I called Marquette over Illinois. And College of Charleston could have made it, but they couldn't quite hang. Yeah, it couldn't quite hang. But all in all, I think tomorrow night's game will be good. I think it's a coin flip of who can win that game. What do you think, Bradley?
I'd probably have to go Seton Hall in that one. I'm a big Kadarius Richmond fan. He hasn't been playing just outstanding this season, but I think he can definitely have a pretty good game in that one. So give me Seton Hall in that one.
I got you. I don't think there's a wrong choice in picking a team. EJ Liddell is like carrying Ohio State. So if he says like, hey, get on my back, we're winning this game tonight, we can't get upset again, we got to put the Big Ten on our back. You know, I could see that happening. So we will see. I think it'll be fun though, like I said. I'm going to go Ohio State by 2 on this one. I think it's going to be a tight game. I said, I think the experience that they have is going to play a factor into it. And I think EJ Liddell is just not going to I think he will actually throw up on the court before he loses another close game like that. So,
And it seems like every time I look up, both of these teams are playing tight games. So it'll probably be like an overtime game or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I just like Ohio State by 2 here. We are going to move on. Let's number 2, UCLA versus number 1, Gonzaga, Tuesday at 10 o'clock, which is the worst time for a basketball game, but whatever.
Yeah, the good thing is usually a lot of, you know, not usually, but a lot of people have Wednesday off. So yeah, hopefully not a lot of people will be able to. Right. Hopefully a lot of people will be able to stay up and watch that game. Yeah. I'll try to. I'm going to be hitting the road, going out of town for family Thanksgiving in Virginia. But again, that one is in Las Vegas, in T-Mobile Arena out there. So that's going to be, you know, there's going to be tons of Zags fans and UCLA fans, you know, hitting up Vegas for Thanksgiving. So I bet that'll be a wild scene.
Yeah, it should be fun. What do you think, Bradley?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be awesome game there with UCLA and Gonzaga. Gonzaga, oh, they're just so good. And I hate it so much that they're so good. But
I mean, could this be a replay of like the UNC UK game 103-100 out there?
It definitely
well could be,
because neither of these teams have any defense.
Man, it's tough. Like I think Jamie Jacquez is one of the few guys in the country that can check Drew Timmy a little bit. Like he's not going to stop him defensively, but he might be able to score with him like that. Yeah, because like Drew Timmy's not going to score 37 like he did against Texas. Like he's not. But I really do. I think this is the game that you have to see Chet Holmgren step up and be the best player on the court that he's supposed to be. And I just don't think Johnny Juzang's going to stand for it. Like I think he's gonna, he's going to be like, no, I'm the best player on this court. I'm gonna show you, and I'm gonna get my revenge. We're gonna get our revenge for the Final Four. Jalen Suggs, you know, half court shot.
Yeah, so. I think it's just going to be, I mean, when you look at the stats between these two teams, I mean, they're mirror images of each other almost. You know,
one's just more front court heavy where the other one's more back court heavy.
Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be one of those. It's going to be a fun game to watch. No doubt about that. I mean, now that we say that, it'll be like, you know, a terrible game with a ton of turnovers and nobody can hit a shot, and it'll be, you know, 68.
UCLA is going to shoot like 4 for 30.
Right. But I mean, you know, usually like they delivered last year in the tournament. So I think they'll deliver again. So
that was probably, that was in the top five of games that I've ever watched.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was
that game. Incredible. And then the ending with the sub shot.
Yeah. Incredible. So it'll be, yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's almost gonna, it's like a, it could be a replay of that UNC UK game from 2016.
Yeah. Just back and forth buckets. Yeah, for sure. All right. So give me your guys' prediction. Give me your scores and a player game.
My heart says 92-87 UCLA, but my mind says 103-90 Gonzaga. And then I would say MVP has got to be Drew Timmy.
So you're going to take Timmy. Okay. So you're going with your – you have a mind and a heart and a gut pick. So I'm going to go mind only. And I'm going to go actually with – I'm going to go with Johnny. And I'll say he'll put up – 35, and UCLA upsets the Zags, as much as you can call it an upset. 94-86. I'll go with that.
I'm gonna go UCLA is gonna get the upset, like you said. I think it's gonna be like 87-85. 87-84. Let's say 87-84. It'll come down to a missed three to tie it. I think Jamie Jacquez Jr. is actually going to be the player of the game. Yeah. I think his impact won't be seen in the points column, but it'll be seen everywhere else, where he'll probably have like, I'll say like 15-12 or something like that. Yeah. But he'll also have like a crazy amount of blocks or, you know, just something like that, something that you don't see coming. I've been calling the obvious players lately in my players of the games, and they haven't been coming true. So hopefully I can will this one into fruition here. I think it'll be a good game, though, all around. And then lastly, we have on Friday at 10:30 p.m., which is an even worse time for a game, we have number one Gonzaga versus number seven Duke. We'll see. This is going to be tough because it could be either coming off a big win against UCLA or coming off a, you know, kind of a, you know, humbling loss against UCLA. So – Duke, I don't think plays anybody crazy this week. So leading up to it. Yeah. So Duke should be fresh by then. And I think all the Paolo Banchero news is far behind them enough that they won't be distractions.
Now that you bring that up, has anybody heard a peep about that since it happened?
No.
No, I mean, he still has his court date on December 8th, so we'll hear more as soon as that happens. But up until then, I think everything's going to be pretty tight-lipped because they're not going to reveal anything. Yeah. So.
Definitely,
especially with it being K's last season.
Yeah,
doesn't want any bad mark on that.
Exactly. No doubt. So, give me your prediction on this game: number one Gonzaga versus number 7 Duke.
I think we're gonna see a big battle between Timmy and Paolo.
Absolutely.
Paolo is one of the few players in the country who could go shot for shot for Timmy and maybe slow him down defensively. So it'd definitely be a little bit more of a lower scoring game. I think it's going to be close, though. I think it'll be I just think that Gonzaga's guard depth might end up winning the game for them. I mean, they got Nimhard, Hunter Salas, Hickman. I think they have more guards depth-wise than Duke does. So I'll say Gonzaga about 85-80. Then MVP, I'll take Timmy again.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're kind of stole my thunder on that because I think Duke is gonna be a little bit exposed in this game defensively. I think they're gonna have a tough time with Gonzaga. I think it's gonna be a little bit of a wider margin than anybody would really expect. I think Gonzaga is going to win by about 15. Mm. This one's in Vegas also. So I guess Gonzaga is just setting up camp Thanksgiving week in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out, Mark Few. Don't get in trouble. I think Nimhard is that you mentioned Nimhard. He's going to control the game. And I think he's going to make Duke's guards look a little bit silly out there. He's going to be my MVP with 10 assists, flirting with a triple double, about 18 points and at least 10 assists. And I'll take Gonzaga 85-70.
Awesome. Well, I am going to go in the opposite direction of you guys. Uh-oh. Actually.
All right. You got to.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's only going to make for a good podcast if I went with the safe choice in Gonzaga. Like, what kind of person am I going to be?
Paint you in a corner on that one.
Yeah, no, I already had my mind set on Duke winning this game. I just think, when the lights shine brightest is when you're going to see Trevor Keels just go for like maybe like 21 and 8 assists. You know, like I think he's going to have a big game again. I think he has that Tyrese Maxey factor to him, where he just needs the lights to be bright, and you know the Vegas lights are pretty bright. I think Paolo's going to do Paolo things, and I also I think Theo John's going to have a big game as well for Duke. So Wendell Moore is going to be solid all around. Gonzaga, I don't trust their guards. I think they have good experienced guards, but I don't trust them to be at the level that they had last year. And Chet Holmgren, like, he's going to be good, but I don't think he's going to be able to check Paolo. As far as his scoring ability. And like you said earlier in the UCLA Gonzaga prediction, like, Gonzaga struggles with defense. So if they want any chance to stop Dukes from scoring, they're going to have to go to his zone. So we will see about that, because I think that's the one way you can stop Duke is make him shoot threes. So go to a 2-3 zone and see what they can do from there. But, you know, all around, I think it's going to be a good game. I'm going to say Duke 78 and Gonzaga maybe 74. And it'll be a couple favorable whistles for Coach K, of course. And
that never happens.
I just think this is the type of story that's going to be the season, is that Duke is going to be the team this year. And I think Gonzaga is as good as they are this year. I think the NCAA wants this. And it's not like it is rigged. Like, I think Duke is good enough to be that team. I think they're just going to get a call here or there that maybe gives them a little bit of separation. But I'm not saying it's, like, totally rigged here. I'm not trying to go full conspiracy theorist on y'all. So,
My thinking there was that, you know, Gonzaga is going to be coming off a tough loss to UCLA. So they're just going to, you know, they're going to play their A-plus game against Duke. And so that was kind of my thinking there. On
or it could go in the opposite direction and Gonzaga
could
just totally handle UCLA, or you know, maybe win a little bit comfortably, and then Duke will kind of be upset minded there. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how Vegas treats the Zags. Definitely.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the beer review. This is the standard. We talk college basketball. Now we're talking beer a little bit, so we won't spend too long on this, but Ale Week. So I decided to go to
– Ale, yeah.
So I decided to go to my liquor store, and I was looking, and I found this blonde ale. Mm. It's Persimmon Hollow Brewing, which is located in DeLand, Florida, which is a cute little town, home of Stetson University. Go Hatters. It's awesome. Yeah, it's a cute little town. They have some good restaurants there. It's basically in between Orlando and Daytona. If you ever get the chance to go down to Orlando and drive to Daytona, stop in DeLand, stop at Persimmon Hollow. But this is called the Daytona Dirty Blonde. It's it's really good, actually. I tried to wait and save it for the podcast. I bought it on Tuesday, and I was like, yeah, I'll wait and drink another podcast. And then it was like so tempting, and it did not disappoint. It was very, very, very tasty. Like, it hits a little bit bitter, like hoppy at first, but the more you drink it, the smoother it gets. Unlike like IPAs and stuff, like the hoppiness never goes away. This one kind of like it blends in very well the more you drink it, and it's so good. It is, like I said, Persimmon Hollow Brewing Daytona Dirty Blonde. It's a 20 IBU and 4.1% ABV. So I'm gonna give it a sip here. It's a clutch beer. Like, it's a clutch beer, man. It's like I said, it's a little bit hoppy, but it has like, it's a smooth taste to it. It has a little bit of sweetness at the end and the aftertaste. Mm-hmm. It would be good at, like, I would drink this on Daytona Beach and be 100% okay. You know, like, it's not gonna be too heavy. And so it's a little bit lighter. It's kind of like a golden, the Big Wave from Kona Brewing. It's a little bit like that. So all in all, I probably give it like a 3.5 or 4 stars. It's not gonna hit the 5 stars, but I'd say like 3.5 or 4 stars. If I had to compare it to a college basketball team or anything college or basketball related, really, give me Larry Bird's hair. Mustache included, but give me all Larry Bird's hair, like, and the mustache. Like, it's got that flow to it. But you know, he can light you up a little bit. So it's got that meanness to it, but also like, this is a goofball, but it's Larry Bird's hair for sure. And I love their tagline. It says, drink sensibly, but get weird. Cheers, y'all. So
nice.
Yeah, I'd recommend it for sure. If you can find it up there, go for it.
Larry Bird's beer, huh?
Pretty much.
Sounds good. Okay. So this week, for Ale Week, I'm doing an ale, 312 Urban Wheat Ale from Goose Island Brewing up in Chicago. The brewery is located kind of the northwest side of Chicago. I had this for the first time about 7-8 years ago. I believe I was at a bachelor party again up there. I'm not positive exactly the situation, but it was a good, just a good drinking beer. You know, like I said, it's the Urban Wheat Ale. 312 is the one of the Chicago area codes. Mm-hmm. So they named it for that. They've got the skyline of Chicago on the label. You know, just a very, again, you know, nothing to, you know, no outstanding flavors, nothing's going to just hit you in the face and anything. It's described as a spicy aroma of Cascade hops followed by a crisp, fruity ale flavor delivered in a smooth, creamy body that's immensely refreshing. And it is. I mean, it's just a good, you know, like if you're dining al fresco up at some, you know, patio in Chicago in the city, watching the traffic go by and all that kind of stuff, you know, dodging bullets, whatever you got to do up there. You know, you might want to have a 312 in your hand and, you know, just kind of sitting back and relaxing. It'll go well with the Chicago style pizza, the thin tavern style, or the deep dish, whatever you want to do. It's not, You're not going to, you know, fill up on this beer too much. It's an IBU of 18, 4.2% alcohol content. So nothing that's going to get away from you.
I like it. I've had it before too.
It's a good beer. It's a good beer.
It's like if you want to drink a Bud Light, but you want to feel a little bit fancier.
You want to be like an urban Bud Light drinker. You know, like you're not out, you know, on the front porch, you know, on the farm. You're on the back patio in the city, you know, in your high rise or something like that. You're having a 3-1-2 urban wheat ale. So it's a good drinking beer. I'm always pleased with it. I had one last night at a local restaurant, actually down in Louisville, and you know, it's just a good drinking beer. It's good with a meal. You know, it's not going to overpower or heavy or get heavy, you know, in your stomach or anything like that, your meal. So it's a good beer to have with food, definitely.
Awesome. Would you, what are you going to compare it to? Anything basketball related?
Yeah, I was kind of looking at, I'm actually going to compare it to Michigan because it has kind of like the maize color. So that's what I kind of think of when I look at it. When I look at the label, it's got that maize yellow color. So it just kind of said Michigan to me right away. I was kind of leaning between them and Iowa. You know, it's got that yellowish corn maize flavor or color to it. So,
yeah,
but I'm going to stick with Michigan just because, you know, I kind of relate Michigan and Chicago, you know, together just because I visit those two very often. So I'm going to take the Michigan Wolverines. You know, it's something that has kind of slowly, you know, risen out of the smoke and in the shadows and everything. And now it's becoming, you know, Michigan's kind of becoming a strong team in college basketball again. So,
yeah,
you know, the 3-1-2
Juwan Howard.
Yeah, shout out Juwan, 5-5. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that's kind of in the background, but it's starting to rise up and get a little bit more nationally known. And it's 3-1-2 is distributed nationwide also. So you can find it all over the country.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Bradley, I see you popped open a can. What you drinking, my man?
I've got a Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But,
what's the IBUs on that?
You had to compare it to a college basketball team.
If I had to compare it to a moment in college basketball, I know exactly what it is. 2014, Kentucky versus Wisconsin. Aaron Harrison's got the ball. He pulls up. Commentator says, "This is the point where he always hits it. Nothing but net. Drains it." That's exactly how I feel with the Mountain Dew. Not a sponsor.
Not yet, at least.
Mountain Dews get you going, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Yeah. Oh, man. That's good content right there.
As a fun side note, I think I can quote every line of that movie. And I just make people mad all the time. And it's like obscure quotes, too.
That's a dumb name.
No, the field mouse is fast, but the owl sees at night.
My wife and I watched it just the other night, and I was like, oh, man, this movie is ridiculous. The one of the most ridiculous parts is when the wreck is happening, and then, you know, they cut to the Applebee's commercial, and it's just so dated. The commercial, like the graphics and everything, is just oh my god, it's like pure nostalgic. So, yeah, all right, we're gonna move on. That was the beer review and Mountain Dew review of the week. So go check them out. We had the 3-1-2 Goose Island, that Chicago beer, that wheat ale, and we had the Persimmon Hollow Daytona Dirty Blonde. Which is a blonde ale. So go check those out. If you've never had them before, we highly recommend them. You know, one of these days we're going to run to a beer that we don't like. But for now, we're going to just keep putting out good beers. But yeah, I'm all for just putting out good beers if we need to. So we're going to move on to the Shark Tank upsets. This is the opportunity that each co-host has to pitch a upset for the upcoming week that you want to put some stock into, that you really think can happen, that you've been looking it over, you've been checking the stats, and the other guys probably check it out too. But the Sharks can buy either a pint, a case, or a keg, or they can totally be out. You've seen Shark Tank, I'm sure you know how it goes. So Sharks, give me your pitches.
All right, so I'm going to go, and this is kind of odd for me because I'm not a huge fan of one of these coaches anymore, really. But I'm going to go with Mr. Coach Rick Pitino's Iona Gales over the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Yes, sir. I already tell you I have a whole keg on this, but I want to hear more.
All right, there you go. So, you know what? Nate Oates is going to get schooled in this game. If there's anything you hate him or love him, if there's anything that Rick can do, it's coach basketball. Mm-hmm. He is going to scheme for Alabama, has their own scheme, as we know, you know, shoot a bunch of threes, get a bunch of layups, you know, four out, five out, drive the ball, pass, shoot a three, you know, get the offensive rebounds off those threes, shoot another three. You know, it's interesting because, you know, Pitino is known as, you know, one of the great innovators in as far as a three-point shot goes in college basketball. And now you've got Alabama coming along with Oates that shoots 30 to 40 or 50 of them a game. So if there's anybody that knows how to defend that type of style, it's Rick. And he will come up with a defense, you know, to slow Alabama down. It again, you know, Shackelford is going to be tough to stop. Alabama's got some athletes. They've got some shooters. They're going to outclass them, you know, physically, athletically. But Iona's got a dude. His name is Nelly Jr. Joseph, NJJ. The dude averages about 17, 7, and 2 a game, shooting 67% from the field. He's going to have himself a field day against Alabama. He's going to pull down. He might do an Oscar and go 20 and 20 in this game. So I have faith. I have faith in Rick to come up with a game plan to stop Alabama down in Orlando too. That's kind of one of my keys is I think Alabama is going to be thinking about the turkey. They're going to be thinking about, you know, the green bean casserole. They're going to be thinking about, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to kind of be caught off guard by Rick and what he brings to the court. Against Alabama and Iona, it may be a game that goes into overtime, but I think Rick is going to outcoach Oates and get the dub.
Yeah, I'm totally 100% in on this. I got maybe 2-3 kegs on this. One thing that we know, here's the thing, is I just love the coaching matchup. Right. I think and the styles.
This game is all about it.
Yeah. Like we know Bama isn't going to give you a lot defensively. Like they just haven't. And that's right. One of Oates' biggest flaws is his defensive coaching ability. He has a good offense, except for his offense. Really, you need to have it. It needs to be set up and it's an offense has to be set up. And one thing that we've seen since I was a baby is that Rick Pitino's teams will run the full court press and bother you defensively. They will get in your head. They will run it. They're conditioned enough to do it every time. So I think like maybe 2 minutes into the game, the full court press is going to be brought out and it's going to stay until the very last minute.
I mean, yeah. And if Alabama makes 23s, they make 23s, but I mean, Rick, you know, he's going to come up with a scheme to cover those dudes. And Iona has some size too, to battle with Alabama. They're not just a bunch of little dudes out there, little scrappy dudes. I mean, they've got some dudes that can box out, man up and play some D. So, and they've won they're 5-0. Alabama comes into the game 4-0. Iona 5-0 and Iona's won their games all kinds of different ways. They've won they've won a close game. They've had a couple blowouts. They've won scoring 54. They've won scoring 90.
Yeah.
They've won scoring 81. So, you know, they've won. That's what Rick can do. He can win any kind of different way.
Yeah.
So I just see it as one of those games. Alabama, you know, doesn't come out focused. They get tripped up and, you know, just never recover.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Bradley?
Oh, yeah, totally agree. Agree with
how much Mountain Dew
you
want to buy, Bradley?
Oh, all of it.
All the cases of Dew.
All of it. Yeah, I totally agree with what you said. Pitino's team's full court press gonna get in Alabama's head, disrupt them.
Yeah, then it'll be a fun game to watch.
Then look for after the season for Rick Pitino to bolt for Tennessee. Heard their football team had a hooker, so he wanted to get on all the action.
Oh, man. Yep, yep.
Oh, man. All right, Bradley, give us your pitch. Shark.
All right. My upset pick is on Wednesday. On Wednesday night, I have got the Hokies of Virginia Tech taking down the Memphis Tigers. I am not a believer at all in Memphis.
Is this because you live in Memphis? And
partially.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That's probably a little bit of it. But I've watched a lot of Memphis's games, again, partially due to living in Memphis. And I'm just not impressed. I mean, yeah, they've got Duren. Yeah, they've got Imani. But I'm just not impressed by everything that Memphis has to offer.
Unfortunately, they also have Penny, right?
Yeah. And they've got FedEx dropping bags for them. So, but no, I just think Virginia Tech is so deep of a team. They have two guys on their team shooting 67% from three. And it's a true, it's not like a, you know, they've taken three and hit two of them. Right. Listen to some of these 3-point shooting numbers. They have Naheem, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this guy's name. Naheem Allen is the closest I'm going to get with that one. But he has attempted 14 threes, made 5. Storm Murphy has attempted 18 threes, made 8. Hunter Kator, again, sorry about the pronunciation on that. He's taken 18, made 7. Darius Maddox, taken 9, made 6 of them. They've got guys that are shooting lights out from 3. Memphis doesn't have the guards that are going to be able to keep up. Virginia Tech's got 4 guys averaging at least 10. So the guard depth there for Virginia Tech is going to be too much for Memphis to take care of. Duren's going to get his. Don't worry about that. I don't know that Virginia Tech is going to have anybody that can really hang with Duren on the inside. But just guard-wise, Memphis has Lester Quinones.
So I'm going to say I'm out on this, and this is nothing personal, Bradley.
Oh, no. I hate you now, but that's okay. No.
I have trouble trusting Virginia Tech and Virginia, just Virginia basketball in general. Just, yeah, I just try to stay away. West Virginia, sure. Virginia Tech, even though they're two different states, so we'll just count them in one. Yeah, like I can't trust them, especially offensively. I don't know if they're there. And I like the length of Memphis. Like you said, I'm not super impressed with Memphis here. But because it's an upset, because Virginia Tech's unranked, I think Memphis might be viewed in just a little bit higher, you know, regard. So I'm going to stick with Memphis just because I think this is one of those games. It's like, oh, Memphis will win maybe like by like 10, and it'll be a quality win come tournament play. But as of right now, it's just like a whatever win.
I mean, it's Thanksgiving week, and Virginia Tech's mascot is a turkey. That's like betting against the Santa Clauses at Christmas.
Well, turkeys usually don't fare well at Thanksgiving time, so there's that.
That is true.
That'd be like that, or that'd be like betting against Tennessee on garbage day.
Oh, that's messed up. You're just throwing shots. We're going to have no Tennessee fans on this podcast. I mean, whatever, but like...
I tried to be nice earlier to Bulky and, you know, their outlook and everything, but it always, there's just that thing back there. It just kind of comes out every now and then, you know, but I mean, Memphis is blocking 11 shots a game. I don't know who they've played up to this point, really, to be honest with you, but, and Duren's averaging 15 and 11. I know did they play Western?
Yeah. Western, right? I think Western was their toughest opponent so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and they won by like 12 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, Western played them close.
Yeah.
Duren's averaging 5 blocks a game. He's averaging 15, 11, and 5. That's pretty ridiculous.
I wish Kentucky could have got him.
That's pretty solid. He's only playing 25 minutes a game, too.
Yeah. So far, Memphis has played Tennessee Tech, North Carolina Central, St. Louis, and Western.
Yeah. So they haven't had any. I mean, that could be a thing. I mean, those dudes haven't faced anybody like Virginia Tech yet. So yeah. There might be a little bit of shock to the system there. You know what? I'm going to take a pint of this, and I'll go with you with the Hokies. You know, you convinced me with the turkey talk and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to say, yeah, these young dudes at Memphis are going to be kind of thrown off a little bit by, you know, Virginia Tech's, you know, physicality and athleticism. You know, they're taking a big step up in competition here, as far as I'm concerned. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I saw that Virginia Tech's shooting 41% from three. So I think they're going to have to make double digit threes to win this game, but I think they can do it. So I'll take a pint, man.
We'll see. I am going. So Sharks, hear me out. Okay. I've been listening. I really didn't know a lot about Richmond basketball until last year when they beat Kentucky, and we found out how bad Kentucky really was.
The Spides.
Yeah. And then, you know, Dallas Major Madness team is the Richmond Spiders. And so right. I've learned more about Richmond over the last year than I ever knew before. One thing that stands out about their matchup over Maryland this week is that Jacob Gilliard averages 4.5 steals per game. He has 18 steals on the year. That's insane. That is absolutely insane.
But that's the dude that's coming going for the record, right?
He's like 12 away
record.
From the
coming for LiAngelo Ball's record.
Yeah. That's messed up too. So,
oh, man.
Here's the thing is
are you sure that's Mountain Dew in your
Maryland's guards.
Go ahead. We got Connor all thrown off now.
Yeah, a little bit. Maryland's guards, Fats Russell, which is an all-time name.
Fats Russell.
He's on the all-time name list for basketball. He's averaging 2.2 turnovers a game. Erica Alaya is averaging 1.6. They both shoot below 45% field goal percentage. I just don't trust Maryland this season. Like, I really, everyone said they're for real. They already have an upset on the season. They've already been upset on the season so far. They had a close game against Hofstra. I think Richmond rolls this. Like, I don't even think it's going to be close, to be honest with you. Tyler Burton averages 19.3 points a game. Grant Golden averages 18.8 points per game. The only thing that's close to that for Maryland is Erica Ayale, I think is pronounced. I can't pronounce his last name, but. And then Fats Russell, they average 15.4 and 12.8. Like, all the statistics are pointing towards Richmond upsetting Maryland here. And really, like, it's going to be on the defensive end that it's going to happen. And I just have trouble trusting the Big Ten all around this year. Like, the Big Ten just kind of sucks. I'm watching Arizona just put it to number four Michigan right now, 59-43, 12 minutes left. Like, the Big Ten has been absolute frauds this year, and it's something. It's
Purdue and everybody else, it looks like, in the Big Ten, right?
Yep. And usually this happens in March. You know, all throughout the season, Big Ten looks strong, and then come March, there's a case to be made that SEC is going to be the new Big Ten if teams like Tennessee and Auburn and Arkansas and Bama and Kentucky, for that matter, if they got to get to the Elite Eight. They got to get to that second weekend or something like that. They got to get Sweet 16. A
couple
Elite
of those
Eight.
Teams. But Maryland's not going to do it, right?
No, Maryland's not going to do it. So I think Richmond is going to take the dub. When is that game?
It's on the 25th. So Thursday. It's on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's on Thanksgiving Day. They're going to be distracted. I think Richmond – we saw last year what Richmond can do to a team. They attack their weaknesses, and I just don't think that Maryland has a lot of strengths to show up for it. So give me that. What do you guys think?
I like it, man. I mean, I'm going to take a case. I think I was going between pint and case, but I think I'm going to go case, because right now on ESPN's little handy dandy power index matchup predictor, Richmond is 60%. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and take a case of that, man. You sold me. I'll go Spides. Little buddy's going to have like 8 steals, and Dow's going to.
He might break the record this game. Right, that would be something.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go case as well. Unfortunately, since you didn't agree with me, I'm going to have to go. I'm out. On the, no.
Oh, well, you made kidding. It personal.
I'm kidding. Yeah, case. Case sounds good to me. I totally agree with your reasoning.
Case of Mountain Dew for Bradley.
Awesome. All right, so now it's time for the Mid-Major Madness update. This is where we update you on the fan team. We update you on our teams. It's going to be a little bit shorter because we're missing two people tonight. But I want to get Bradley's opinion on some of these teams, if he's kept up with any of them. So for the fan team, we have Loyola Chicago Ramblers. They looked pretty good this week. They went 2-0 on the week. They didn't play anybody great. They won 92-56 versus Chicago State, and they won 80-63 over UIC. Ryan Schwager is averaging 14.8 points per game, and Tate Hall, who is a guard, is averaging 7 rebounds a game, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And they have an upcoming game against Michigan State. That's Wednesday at noon. Wednesday at noon, they have a game against Michigan State. So what do you guys think of this Loyola Chicago team so far?
Man, I mean, they're still doing it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're there. I think they're there to stay, you know, and we'll see if they can make some noise in March again. But, I mean, they've got, you know, the coaching is incredible. I mean, you know, he'll find mismatches and expose you there and, you know, just comes up with great game plans. So, I mean, they're a solid program right now.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, totally. Totally agree. Long as they have the nun on the sidelines, they're unstoppable.
Sister Jean.
Just ask Kofi Coburn.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that was all Cameron Crutwig, but yeah.
Yeah.
The fans have a solid team, no doubt.
Yeah, they picked a good one. I mean, I don't think they could pick any wrong this year. High Point looked good the other night. They didn't get the dub, but they looked good the other night. And then obviously we talked about Iona, San Francisco. I haven't really been keeping up with them, so I'd like to see what they're looking like. But I know Dow said that KenPom had them in like the 30s, which is pretty impressive for a mid-major. So
right,
yeah. So Kyle, update us on your mid-major team. Did anything crazy happen with them this week?
Hey man, the Cougars are the team of the week, buddy. I mean, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah, my mid-major team came through strong and beat the crap out of Oregon. 81-49. I watched a lot of that game, and Barcelo, the leader of the Cougars, Alex Barcelos, he went off. He was like 8 for 8 at one point, 3 for 3 from three. And, he's not a big guy, not a big kid at all, but he's just one of those crafty dudes that, you know, just gets his shot, you know, perfect form, straight up and down, just a good looking jump shot. And really, That's what BYU is overall. I mean, Pope, that's just how he coaches. You're going to have scrappiness. You're going to have, you know, great fundamentals. You're going to have, you know, they just play as hard as they can. They're pretty deep. And they've got some dudes like in the inside that can battle you. I mean, they've got some physical guys, down low, and they just took it to Oregon. It was ridiculous. They shot like 60% or something for the game.
All that would sound pretty fun in a Kentucky team, wouldn't you agree?
It would, man. I mean, they're fun to watch. And I remember watching them last year against Gonzaga, and I think even the year before that. I mean, they had some pretty impressive games the last few years. So Pope's got them going. You know, just like I said, beat the crap out of Oregon by 32, and then they played Central Methodist, who's I think like D2 or D3 or something like that, but you know, beat them by 36. So they're rolling right now, with Barcelo leading the way. They have, you know, kind of a cupcake again against Texas Southern on Wednesday, but then they have a really good test at Utah on Saturday.
Yeah. That should be a good game for sure.
And so that'll be a great game. You know, we'll see what they can do. But again, I mean, like I said last week, I was happy if they stayed within 10 of Oregon, but they blew that away by 42 points. So,
exactly, yeah.
I think they're more than capable of going into Utah and winning. Utah's got a really good team this year too, though. So it'll be a tough environment. It's always tough to play at Utah. That's one of the tougher arenas to play in college basketball. So it'll be a great test for them again. But like I said with Oregon, I mean, I think if they just play a tough game and, you know, win or lose, they're still – on an upward trajectory this year. So they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, they are. That's going to be interesting. I think right now you technically lead with strength of set schedule and overall record.
Yes,
so hopefully, you know, the Buffalo Bulls will be able to come back, and with on the back of Jonathan Williams, who's averaging 21.7 points per game, and Josh Mbala, who's averaging 8.3 rebounds per game. Last week they went 2-0. They had a close game against North Texas. It was 69-66, and Rothstein said that it was a bye game for UNT, which I wasn't aware of, but apparently North Texas paid Buffalo, which in my opinion is the better program, to come play North Texas, and then they lost it, which is brutal. So yeah, that happened, and then they won yesterday 87-65 against Rider. So they're looking pretty good. They only have one game this week in the Stephen F. Austin. That's Tuesday at 6 p.m. I expect Buffalo to win that. Like I said, Jonathan Williams just looks like a really good player. I wouldn't be surprised if he's like projected second round. I know he's been in college basketball for a while, but I still think he can make, you know, he could be one of those guys that, you know, sneaks in the second round, maybe bounce around the G League for a little bit, but and ultimately he could be a good, you know, bench scorer off, you know, for like a deeper team, or maybe a team like Detroit or something like that, where they're just looking to see, you know, they're throwing at the wall to see what sticks. So we will see. What do you think about those two teams and BYU and Buffalo, Bradley?
BYU, I'm just always kind of cautious of them due to me being an idiot when I was in high school. And BYU, I think, was in a play-in game. And I said, I'm going to be, you know, hot take central. And I picked BYU to go to the championship game from the play-in.
Wow.
So, I was like,
that's the hottest of hot.
I was like 14, 15 at the time. So ever since then, I've just been like, you know what? Screw BYU.
How dare you for exceeding my expectations for you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, you both make valid points. Totally agree.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, we didn't really talk about the top 25. It's kind of hard when our updates, you know, like we record on Sunday night, and, you know, they don't release it until Monday around noonish. So Kyle and I decided that we're going to give our own top 25, the Beers and Buckets top 25, and we'll release this in a separate tweet for everyone to make fun of us for. So why don't you go ahead and give us that?
Yeah, so we'll run down our inaugural. Yeah, this is the way I think it should go anyways. I think like preseason top 25 stuff, it's only all it is something to talk about, you know? So
exactly.
I mean, I'm all for not having any kind of poll or anything that affects, you know, where you start and everything. It's just to talk about, you know? So I like having a poll after there's been three or four games under everybody's belt. So, you know, you can get just a more accurate start to it, you know? But anyways, so the inaugural Beers and Buckets top 25. So obviously we're going to have to slot Gonzaga number one. I mean, they've been, you know, pretty much nothing but impressive so far, but they're going to have a couple really, really tough tests this week. And then against one of those teams this week, our number two, UCLA. So we're going to have one versus two in the Beers and Buckets top 25 coming up. And a team that is, you know, maybe was a little bit under the radar and, you know, not a team that everybody put in their top five or so to start the season is Purdue. That's our number three. They've been extremely impressive and look like they have all the pieces to make a deep run this year. And we're going to put Duke at number four. They've got tons of talent, and Kay lets that talent shine. So, obviously, off their win against Kentucky, you know, kind of vaults them up a few spots, and they've maintained that so far. So your top four there. And then we're going to follow that with Kansas, Baylor, Villanova, and then Kentucky in at number eight, you know, kind of playing like a, you know, like the lowest two seed right now if the tournament was seeded today. And then I had Michigan at number nine, but
I think they got to drop out.
We're going to have to drop them way down.
At least to the 20s.
And that was one that I was like, you know, I actually had this, you know, kind of established before the game tonight. So
I'd say drop them to like 23 and move everyone else up one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're going to have to drop them after their performance against Arizona tonight. So following them, we'll have Alabama come in at number nine. They've been pretty impressive so far, but if Iona and Rick, you know, pull the upset this week, they'll be dropping out of the top 10, obviously. Yeah. And so then we'll follow that up with Memphis, Arkansas, Houston, and then Texas at number 14, and then Florida in at number 15. I think they've been pretty impressive so far this year. Yeah. I think they're a top 15 team. They
catapulted into the top 5.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got them at 15. And then another SEC team following them, Auburn at 16. Illinois at 17. They've dropped off a little bit early in the season. They started out around 10 or 12 this year. They were at 10 in the AP poll last week. So they've dropped down all the way to 17. And then another SEC team coming in at number 18, Tennessee. They bounced back today with a good effort. So we'll have them at 18, and then you've got Oregon dropping down quite a bit after losing to BYU. And then I've got the Bonnies of St. Bonaventure. I think they have earned the right to be in the top 20. They're actually going to be at 19, St. Bonaventure. I missed Michigan dropping down there. So you've got 20, UConn, 22, USC, and then we'll put Michigan at number 23. Per Connor's request. And then right after Michigan, I've got BYU and coming into the top 25 this week. I think they're easily a top 25 to 30 team right now in college basketball.
I agree.
And then following them, Seton Hall at 24. And then rounding out the top 25, barely hanging in there. They've dropped 10 or 15 spots since the season began, but we'll keep the Ohio State Buckeyes in the top 25 for this week, and we'll see how they do from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're on upset alert, but we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's all good. I think the way that it's shaping out is that, like, some of these, you know, like Texas didn't really look like a number 5 team in the nation. That doesn't mean they won't look like you better at the end of the year, but it's hard to make a bunch of transfers work. It's not just rolling the ball out in the court, you know.
Beard is in a whole new environment. You know, we know how it goes at Texas. I mean, there's pressure. Mm-hmm. Even on the basketball side, there's pressure.
They have the best player in program history on the roster right now. So
exactly. They got an all-timer on the roster. So you think that they would they'll get it together eventually. But it's going to be, you know, they may be a team that drops out of the top 25 for a while. And we'll see if they can bounce back. But they've been, you know, kind of sluggish to start the year, definitely. So just by my count, we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 SEC teams, I believe, in the top 25.
I'd love to see it, man. Just means more.
Yeah, exactly. Even on the basketball side.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, I'm sure the network is really happy about all this, because, you know, like years past, it's like, why are we giving, you know, people are like, why are we giving the SEC their own network? They only play one season and that's football. And, you know, really, like, they've taken over pretty much all the sports.
Yeah.
Except for like wrestling, you know, like that's,
I know that. Yeah. And like, you know, a lot of the Olympic, you know, some of the Olympic sports and things like that, that Stanford and UCLA and those teams out West still dominate. But, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty good looking, that's a pretty good looking top 25, I think, to start the year. I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there. I think the transfer portal has made, you know, given a lot of teams the ability to kind of, you know, come out of nowhere and just kind of shoot up there into the top 25 and surprise some people. But then also it's caused some teams like Texas to drop, you know, and they're trying to put the pieces together and figure out, you know, how they're going to play and who's going to do what on the floor. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here. But you've got, I mean, the Bonnies look great. BYU obviously has looked great. Seton Hall looks strong. USC shot up there. They've been solid to start the year. A lot of West Coast flavor in the top 25 right now. So it's kind of spread all across the country right now, and that's a good thing to see.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. What do you think, Bradley? Any comments to add to that?
Oh no, that's I mean, that can't argue with that list. I think that's a very well put together list. Just watching this Arizona Michigan game, Arizona's going to be up there at some point.
Yeah, I think at some point they will. It's amazing that they're doing this with the first time head coach.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm just amazed at how Michigan can't stop them.
Yeah.
Especially that number 35 player. Like, he's looking really good right now. He's making Hunter Dickinson look like not as good as we thought he was.
Yeah. I mean, I think that might actually be Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they look good. So, all right. Well, now it's time for the last call. This is just any parting thoughts that we have, any hot takes that we have. This could be a fireball shot. This could just be one more sip of Mountain Dew. This could be whatever you want. But this is wrapping up this episode here. So give me your last calls, guy.
My hot take: Gonzaga will lose one game this year and be the national champion.
Oh, man.
Was that your...
I don't think that's a hot take personally, but...
I guess the hot take would be only losing one game because they have that tough little stretch there.
So where I want to know where they're going to lose their game. Is it going to be this week or is it going to be in their conference tournament? What do you think is going to happen overall, you know, in their season?
Now, I know that earlier in our predictions, I did this, so I'm covering my bases.
All right.
So either way it happens. I'll say they lose to Duke.
Okay.
Because, I mean, their conference is a joke. They just need to join the Pac-12.
They lose to Duke this week, or they meet up in the tournament and lose to Duke?
Oh, no.
Well, I guess you'd say they're going to meet up in the – yeah, obviously. Yeah, that was a stupid question. Disregard that.
No, that's fine. no, it's just
So you think because last year they obviously had the pressure of trying to go undefeated. Yeah. You think losing a game this year in October November, they're just going to kind of not have that pressure and going to be able to finish it out this year. You think?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I mean, last year they had as talented a roster as anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason that Baylor should have beat them. It's just that I know this isn't strictly a Kentucky podcast, but all three of us are Kentucky fans. That 14-15 team, part of what got it was pressure.
Oh yeah. There's no denying it. I mean, people can say that's not an issue and they weren't thinking about it, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, the worst thing that happened is, and I still can hear him saying it right now, but, and I don't, you know, I can't remember if back in when UNLV was undefeated in 91, when they got beat by Duke, if Jim Nance, when they were introducing the teams, and he didn't even do it back then, it was the PA announcer that did the starting lineups. But when Nance in 2015 in Indianapolis was doing the starting lineups, you know, in the arena or in the stadium, he said, you know, the undefeated Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah, that was the nail in the coffin right there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Nance, dude, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just extra fuel. Right. And so, and I was like, man, that's just bad mojo.
Yeah.
And so undefeated, I mean, it hasn't happened in 45 years for a reason, you know? Yeah. And so it's just hard to do, man. So not having that pressure is a huge, you know, weight off your shoulders, no matter what anybody says.
Okay, well, if that's not a hot enough of a take,
yeah,
here's a hotter take.
All right, give us another one.
Xavier Wheeler, SEC Player of the Year.
That's tough, man. I feel like that has to go to Oscar Tshiebwe.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't a big man in college basketball that's doing what he's doing right now.
Sure.
And there's just a lot of good guards in the SEC this year. So, and not that Xavier Wheeler just blends in. Just you look at Oscar's numbers. I mean, obviously it's dipped since he had 0 points the other night. But, I mean, he was averaging 18 and 18, which is insane.
As much as I would love it if Oscar maintained 18 and 18, is that really feasible for a whole
season? No, it's definitely not. But he's going to be a he's going to average 15 and 10 or something like that. You know, maybe even more rebounds than points or something. But all in all, it'll be I think it's going to Oscar Tshiebwe. Unless he goes down with an injury, God forbid, or unless he just has he's just doing against lesser competition, which we saw was not the case with Duke. I just think Oscar Tshiebwe is gonna definitely take that title over anyone in the SEC currently.
Yeah, but I mean, if Sevier ends up averaging double digit assists, he'd definitely be in conversations.
It's like it's at that point, it's gonna be like, what does the SEC value more, like big man versus guard? So
yeah,
we will see for sure. Give me your hot take. Give me your last call, Kyle.
All right, my last call. Here's what I'm hype about right now. When I was watching the UK Ohio game, you know, a lot of times Cal likes to talk about how we play our game, we dictate the game, and really there aren't many. I always disagree with him when he says that. I think what we have done for the most part is, you know, we've got our guys out there and we let other teams dictate the game to us way too often. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unless Cal grinds it out and runs the circle set, you know, he never dictates anything. We let the other team dictate way too often. But what we didn't do against Ohio, that's exactly what we didn't do against Ohio last week. We dictated the second half completely. Cal pushed the pace constantly. Sevier was under control. Ty was under control, but we were pushing. We were getting shots. We were shooting open shots. We were penetrating. We were pushing the pace, and UK wore Ohio out in that second half last week. And that's what I love to see. I want to see that more. I want to see it often, all season from Cal, being aggressive. You know, playing 9, 10, 11 guys, pushing the pace, letting Sevier distribute, being aggressive defensively, but when you can get it, you know, push the pace and get good shots as soon as you can. Because I believe, and I've always believed, that when you have the superior talent and athleticism, more possessions is better than less possessions. And Cal too often has, you know, stopped the point guard in his tracks, grinded it out, ran the circle set, you know, and we're getting shots with 5 seconds left in the shot clock. I think you let your talent dictate the game, and by pushing the pace, getting more shots, that's exactly what you're doing. So I loved seeing that from Cal last week, and hopefully that's a trend for this season.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I think Kentucky fans just need to take a step back here and look at the season as a whole. Like, if this team takes maybe 4 or 5 losses, it's not the end of the world. If they lose to a ranked Alabama team, like, it's not going to kill us. But I'm waiting for the inevitable freak out when, you know, Kentucky loses to a team they shouldn't, because it's going to happen this season at some point. And I'd rather it happen earlier in the year than in March. But this team, you've seen it, you know, the fact that they, you know, their best players were out for a majority of the first half against a tournament team, and they had a 2-point lead going into halftime, that says a lot. And when you have Kellen Grady, who is a 2,000-point scorer, who had zero looks on the, you know, like on the night, and we score 77 points or however many points we scored, that's the kind of depth that we have missed at Kentucky for a long time. Since like 2015, and I love it. It's probably one of my favorite Cal teams is the 16-17 Fox Monk Bam team. There was a stretch in like February where it was hard to watch, and they had a rough stretch. I don't think this team will go through a rough stretch. I think they'll just run into a really good team like Bama or Arkansas, who can light it up from three, and they're going to make more shots than us. But right now, as it stands, this should be a team that a lot of Kentucky fans should be excited for. And it's okay if we take a loss or two, or five. It's okay, because we need to learn from the mistakes now versus March. So that's my last call. I'm sticking with it. With that said, we are going to end the show. It was a pleasure having you on, Bradley, again. Like, it was so fun. I appreciate you joining us and, you know, making us laugh with your Tennessee jokes and, you know, your Mountain Dew review. I'm sure you got plenty. So, like I said, he's a great follow, especially for me. Like, I'm a UK fan, not living in Kentucky, so I just get the brunt of it, and I'm sure you do in Memphis,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you are a UK fan, or if you're a fan of anybody that, and you're living in a different city, like, you can relate to my tweets, you can relate to Bradley's tweets. So follow us on Twitter. I'm at Connor J. Caldwell. That's Connor with an E, not an O. You can find me there on Twitter and Instagram. And you can follow Bradley at 270 Bradley Smith. And you also should check out his podcast, Bradley's Basketball Banter. He goes really in depth. He's been to a lot of recruiting events. He's been to the Iverson Classic. He's been to a bunch of fun events. So he has a lot of basketball knowledge, and he's here strictly for buckets. So you should check him out. And you can follow Kyle at UK Fan Kyle. Wish our boy Dal some good health. He's been sick this week. So pray for him. Thoughts and prayers for him. And whenever we hear back from Matt, we can let you know an update on that. But for now, that is Beers and Buckets. Thank you again for listening. And don't forget to review and follow us on Twitter. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
It's Feast Week. Let's go.